This is a story that God wants you to know. This is a story. It's not just highly significant to world history, but it is highly significant and highly relevant to you and I. So as I tell this story, I want to do this talk and the whole morning, welcome to Great Year. We kind of like to take the opportunity to talk about ourselves in some way, to talk about who we are, lay out some of our values, and hopefully give you an idea of what is important to us at Grace Church. So we can we'll say together, kind of, yes, that's the kind of church I want to be part of. You know which kind of church it is you are putting your time and your energy and your finances into. And if that is you, then you and you're kind of slightly newer, then say again, you're most welcome. It's a great morning for you to be with us. I look for ways that we can make Grace Church like the church that we read about in the Bible, in the book of Acts, which is the Bible, the book in the Bible where the kind of church began. That is what we want to be. The church around the world has been around for so long. It's kind of easy to forget what it was like when it was new. Even in this country, the church is kind of like a big battleship or a big ocean liner or something, which has had its hull become totally encrusted with barnacles. Do you know what I mean? And just it was shiny and new. It's got all these barnacles. And we should just go back regularly to this story of the church in Acts and let God speak to us. It's like getting a giant scrapey thingy. Do you know what I mean? Scraping off all the barnacles on the hull of the ship so that it becomes like new and we are left with church as God intended it to be. We're going to be running through this book in the Bible called Acts this morning. So if you have got a Bible, then why don't you grab out your Bible? And if you don't have one with you this morning, then guys waiting at the back, he can bring one to you where you are. It'd be helpful to have one. We're going to be kind of rushing through a lot of chapters this morning. So just put your hand up and God will get one to you. If you don't own a Bible, then you are welcome to keep it. We would love you to. We love the Bible here at Grace Church, and I'll explain more about that later on. This story starts with Jesus. He was living in a place called Palestine in the region around Jerusalem at the start of the first century. And this Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. So Messiah is a word that the Israelites, who were God's people at the time, used for the person that they were waiting for that was going to kind of come and solve all their problems and deliver them from their issues. And Jesus claimed to be this guy, claimed to be the Messiah, the Son of God, who would take away the sins of the world. It's a pretty bold claim he was making. But he said, you will know it's true because people are going to kill me and then they're going to hang me on a Roman cross. And then 3 days after I die, I will rise again from the dead, which is it's a big validation to the claim, isn't it? I think if I was going to kind of make a claim and say, you'll know it's true by this, I would have set the bar lower at something easier. And it's not like he didn't do anything else. He did miracles. I would have just said, look at my miracles. I can prove it's going to be true. But no, he said, I'm going to rise again from the dead. I don't know if Jesus' followers really grasped what he meant beforehand, but they got to witness it firsthand. They saw Jesus die. They buried him and they wept at his grave. But then 3 days later, he appeared to them alive again. And then again, and then again. On one of those occasions, Jesus was eating them and having a chat with them. You know, did I say eating them?
Yes.
That never happened. No, that didn't happen. He was eating with them. That did happen on multiple occasions. On one such occasion, Jesus was eating with his mates. And again, he told them what was going to happen next. He told them to hang around and wait in Jerusalem for a little while. Keep doing what you're doing, you know, gathering and praying. And he said, my Father God is going to give you something totally amazing that is going to be just so cool for you. He is going to give you his Holy Spirit poured out on all of you, just like the prophets had prophesied centuries earlier was going to happen. And again, Jesus' claims were validated and it happened just like he said it would. The disciples were together and all of a sudden something was going down, something was going on. There was wind and there was fire and the Holy Spirit came on all the people who were there and they were filled with the presence of God. And even those who weren't followers of Jesus could see that something incredible and certainly unusual was going on, but they just had no way to explain it. So this guy called Peter, who was one of Jesus' followers, he got to his feet, began to explain to the crowd that had gathered round him that all that was going on was because of this Jesus. Because this Jesus had died and rose again, and that his death and his blood was on their hands unless they turned to Jesus and received forgiveness. And he carried on explaining the Christian message or the gospel to them and how they could receive the Holy Spirit too. And then this crazy thing happened where a group of around 120 people turned into about 3,120, as 3,000 people were added to them in a single day. This is a huge moment in the history of the world where the church has now started. From out of nowhere, suddenly there's a body, there's an entity, there's a unit. It was a group of people in a room, and now it's 3,000 added into something. Now, for the first time in world history, here is a group of people who had both turned to God in repentance and had been filled with the Holy Spirit. A people made right with God, with sins forgiven, their relationship with repaired through faith in Jesus, and they are empowered to live for him because the Holy Spirit was in them. This is world-shattering stuff, what has happened at this occasion. That's the church. And it should still be the church today. So that's where the story starts. It's kind of the setting of the story. It's an amazing place to start the story. So let's carry on. What did they do? What did these people prioritize? How did they live? And as we go through, I'm going to try and describe how we try to do the same here in Grace Church. So we're going to be jumping between kind of 2,000 years ago in the Middle East and today here in Haven, and how we try and emulate that. So the first scene of the story is that these people were, firstly, that they were immediately a community. I won't have time to read verse by verse through this story in the book of Acts, but this next bit is worth reading because it's really more of a description than a story, than a narrative, if you see what I mean. It tells us what they were like. 3,000 people saved, added together. What did they look like immediately after that? So I'm going to read from Acts 2, 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So if you've been watching the church in week one, what would you have seen? I think you could summarize it by saying that they were now in community. They went from being a collection of individuals to being in relationship with one another. The first thing it says is that they devoted themselves to a whole bunch of things that drew them together. They were devoted to a united thing. There's a glue that bound them together. I'm a member of the Tesco Club. I gladly carry around my Tesco Club card, which is my membership card, mostly just because it means I can go to Prezzo for free. But I'm part of that. But although I'm in the club, I don't really know anyone else who's in the club other than my wife. We're in the same club all together. I've got some hands. I'm sure there are other members in the room. But no, we don't know, do we? We don't know who else is in this club. We're in it, but we're not all together. So is that what it's supposed to be like to be a Christian? No, these guys were instantly devoted to the things that brought them together. There was a glue. It was like a gravitational attraction. They were in community together. This community was characterized by them meeting together. Again, I don't meet up with other Tesco Club Card members. They were being in the same place. It was characterized by them being generous with one another. No one was living for themselves anymore. Now it was about how they could benefit each other. It was characterized by joy, by enjoying the stuff that they were doing. And we can get so far from this in our experience of church which is why we need to come back here often. They were united around Jesus and they were enjoying it. What we have here, I think, is a perfect illustration of grace. You know, transformation has occurred. They had been baptized and they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And now, there's no rule book. There's no religion. You know, nobody felt that they were obliged to be there or to fake some kind of religious experience when actually they would much, you know, rather be shopping with mates or down the pub or whatever. No one felt they had to be there. They wanted to live in community. They wanted to put others before themselves, and they were having a good time doing it. That's what grace does. That's what grace looks like. So in this church, we are called Grace Church. That name reflects what is a hugely important value for us. It's like the Mr. Men, really, who are kind of named after their primary characteristic. So you've got Mr. Noisy is noisy. Noisy by name, noisy by nature. Well, that is sort of what this is. We are grace by name and grace by nature. Grace starts with an awareness that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, not by how we kind of do church or how we live our lives in any way. Our salvation, our becoming Christians, is the free gift of God, which we can't earn, we can't qualify ourselves for in any sense. And over the centuries since this moment, churches have devised loads of traditions and forms and models for how to structure and organize church. And in many cases, these aren't bad. They're certainly not bad in and of themselves. But it's when these traditions and forms and models become false or sacred or seen as essential for God's approval, then that's no longer grace, and no longer motivated by genuine grace. So living for Jesus is the most normal thing that a Christian can do. So we want being in Grace Church to be the most normal thing. We're not trying to be something we are not, or by putting on some kind of mask or ill-fitting clothes or a straitjacket. These new believers, they had no rule book, no reason to fake or impose anything. They're just living life. But it was life transformed by the Holy Spirit. Nobody had to tell them, but just from inside, they found themselves in a joy-filled community, centered on Jesus and committed to one another. And they loved it. That is grace. That's what we are trying to build here at Grace Church. And of course, we have ways of doing things, but nothing here is held too tightly. You know, we're open to anything. We just want to be normal and natural. We're not trying to fake it. This is just normal, spirit-filled life. That's the first part in the story. In the next scene in the story, scene two, there's these two of Jesus' followers, members of this new community, were going about their business one day, just walking along the road. There's a guy called Peter and also a guy called John, and this is what happened. They saw a man who had no use of his legs. He was the very bottom of society, and he simply sat by the side of the road begging for money. And Peter and John, they could have hurried past. They were late for the afternoon prayer meeting. Maybe once upon a time they would have done just that. But the effect of the Holy Spirit in them caused them to see people like Jesus sees people. And they were moved with compassion for this paralyzed man. Moved with compassion, like the father in that story I was sharing about earlier. They knew instantly that Jesus loved that man personally. And because they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead and was alive and had given them authority to use his power to heal, they just kind of joined the dots and did the equation. And they linked Jesus' love and his power to that man. And he was healed instantly, miraculously. And this, understandably, created a bit of a stir in the crowd. Again, people wanted to know what had just happened. If you were there, you probably would have wanted to know. I mean, what the heck just went down? What is going on? What happened? Again, Peter and John could have said, no, it's just nothing. Just move on, carry on, do what you're doing. Downplayed it. But they just were not wired that way anymore. So they told anyone who wanted to listen what Jesus had done and the difference that Jesus had made. And they finished up by making it personal for the people listening. They said, this is for you too, you know. This message, this healing is for you. You are included in this. You must respond to Jesus for yourself. So right out of the box, we can see that this church was on a mission. They had a mandate from Jesus to carry on his work, and that is what they did. Not because, you know, they were sitting there twiddling their thumbs and thinking, well, what should we do now? They weren't short of things to be doing. They did it because they were full of the Holy Spirit. And he overwhelmed them with a love for Jesus. And the love of Jesus compelled them to bring a lost and searching world to a knowledge of Jesus. The church is not being the church if it is not on mission to the world. And so here in Grace Church, we love being community. We love being family together. You see, we've got these breakfasts. We love looking after each other. We love hanging out and eating pudding together. We love all that. It is natural to us. It's a natural thing for us to do. And we are also a people on a mission. The church is never meant to be a closed shop, never meant to be a holy huddle or a clique in any way. It is always reaching out to others. Coming into this year, this kind of academic year, and as we finish off September, I feel a fresh excitement. I feel a real fresh energy and a faith that God is going to use us to tell people in this local community about Jesus in a new and in a new effective way as well. You know, there's a harvest field out there. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I can't wait to see 6 months from now, a year from now, what is God going to do among us? God is stirring something within us. Certainly here in Haven, but also across our sites, actually, in Grace Church. This is a good time to come and be part of Grace Church. Partly because next week we're going to be starting a new preaching series. Every Sunday morning, between now and Christmas, we're going to be looking at a part of the New Testament called Romans. Romans was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. But you know, it contains the most majestic and the most illuminating description of the Christian message, the gospel. If you want to know what Jesus has done for you, how it works, and dig into this, how Jesus can transform your life, then don't miss any of these weeks that are coming up as we look into the book of Romans. If we are being normal, full of the Spirit, living in grace, then there is no part of church life which should not be A, open to unbelievers, people who don't know Jesus, and B, effective in helping unbelievers to take at least one step closer to Jesus. Our Sunday morning meetings are places where those who don't personally identify as Christians, you know, are completely welcome. And can even feel like they belong to us and are part of us. And the same goes for our children's groups, our youth work and student and 20 stuff. They are all open. Everyone is welcome. In Grace Church, we encourage everyone to connect on Sundays and also connect in groups. So we always have life groups running, and we run kind of more specific short-term groups on particular subjects as well. Great places for you to connect with others, but it's also part of our mission to the world. We're reaching out and saying, come in and let me show you what Jesus is doing. Let me share this with you. And of course, we work together to proclaim Jesus to even greater effect. Don't miss that Alpha course starting soon that I was saying about earlier. Here, Warblington School, Tuesday, 9th of October, 7:30 p.m. Get along. The next thing that happened to Peter and John story was a little bit strange. So they'd operated out of love and compassion and told people nothing but good news. But there were religious leaders and people in authority who were a little bit threatened by what they were saying about Jesus. So they reacted negatively. They reacted badly against this message. And they had authority and the power to make life difficult for these guys who had been joining the church. They started to put people in prison. And at that point, the church could have said, do you know what? Turns out this message is not all that popular. Clearly, this doesn't quite fit into society here. It's not a message that our culture likes. Maybe we should just keep quiet and not ruffle any feathers. But that's not what happened. Instantly, the church had backbone and it had balls to stand up. He had a bigger mandate. He had a higher calling to be a taker of truth into a lost world. Our message today, it might not always be popular. Do you know, it won't. This community and even our local government might not always welcome Grace Church or be delighted about our message. And while we are certainly respectful and we are submissive of authorities over us, we do have a higher mandate to demonstrate the love of God and declare that Jesus is the only way to know God the Father. I want Grace Church to have the same grace, but also the same backbone as the church had in this story. In the next scene, in this story, the thing that happened was perhaps even more strange than that. In fact, it was. There were two people in the church, a husband and a wife. I guess they'd lived in Jerusalem for a while, perhaps all their lives. I imagine they were there on that day, probably there on the first day when Peter addressed the crowd, and they felt their hearts move, and they called out to Jesus, and they were baptized, became believers, and joined. Their names were Ananias and Sapphira, which I think are lovely names, aren't they? Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias is the guy, by the way. I always get confused. Sapphira is the girl. They owned some land, these guys, and they thought, you know, we're not using this land. It's pointless having that money tied up in the land. Why don't we sell it? And then there's this money that we can give to the apostles, and it can be used for the poor. So they sold the land. But once they had the money in their hand, they thought, oh, we could pretend we didn't get a great price for this land. We could give some of the money to the apostles and to the poor. And then we could keep a nice sum of money for ourselves, a little dollop to spend on ourselves in some way. And when they brought the money to the apostles and gave it, the Holy Spirit revealed what they had done, and they were found out, and God judged them, and then they dropped down dead on the spot. Nice story, this one, isn't it? What are we supposed to make of that? What do we do with that? It's all very well, the church being about community, and we get that it's about mission, but are we going to die? Like, what's going on? Is God going to judge us on the spot? Right at the start of the church, there is an important lesson for us to learn. God is holy. And we need to take his word, the Bible, we need to take it very seriously. Now, as far as I can tell, it is a rare thing that God strikes someone down for their sin. But, do you know, actually, I believe it happens. And who would be the first person to stand up before God and say, well, that wasn't fair? In fact, the reality is, ready for this? Do you know, it's no less than we all deserve. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. You sin, you deserve to die. It says that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. I told you our message wouldn't always be popular. This is good news. There is freedom for us, but the wages of sin is death. Let's none of us gloss over the holiness of God or turn him into some kind of cartoon character that we can shape or draw in any way that we want to. We can't put our own impressions onto who God is. We rightly tremble a little bit at the awesome righteousness of God. He invites us into his presence just as we are, but I still want to do my very best to live for him. One of the things that is really important in this church is the preaching of the Bible. We need to know what God's word is to us and resolve to live accordingly. Surely that should be a priority for any child of God. We give it time on a Sunday morning. The people who are preaching, we give it time in preparation. We take it seriously. We expect to learn about God, but also to encounter him through the preaching of the word. Not just as we sing, but to encounter and hear him speaking into our lives as the word is preached. We expect that. Do you know, the word of God is a bit like a surgeon's knife. It cuts into you and it does surgery on your life as God speaks to you directly and prompts you to change. So we preach the Bible here. We take that seriously. And then we can help each other to work that out in our own lives. This is why some of the preaching in Grace Church comes to us via video in heaven. As I say, we're a multi-site church, and we use videos some of the time to help us do our preaching. It enables us to be a church with four sites. So it enables our mission. But at the same time, it enables us to lead the church through the consistent preaching of the Bible. I'll stick my neck out. You know, I don't think the church in Acts used video preaching. I don't think they did. But I do think, kind of curiously and oddly, that using video genuinely enables us to be more like the church in Acts than we would otherwise. It enables us to be on mission in multiple places in a way that otherwise, and it enables us to take the word of God seriously in a way that we couldn't otherwise. Ananias and Sapphira lived, you know, they lived in the same age of the Spirit, the same age of the church as we do. There's a warning in this story that we all need to hear. Some stuff in the Bible is hard for us to hear. It's hard for me to preach, but we preach it because we preach the Bible. We want to honor God, and so we take his word seriously. People intrigued by what happened to Ananias and Sapphira and a little bit scared, but still the church continued to grow. The church continued to preach the gospel. Many people were saved and baptized. Many others reacted angrily and caused trouble for the church. But then in this next scene, in scene 4, we're into Acts 6 now. In the story, we find right from the beginning, the church has been doing something else. We haven't been told about it yet, but we're told it becomes clear they've been doing it all along. In that Jerusalem society, your economic security, your financial security came either from your business or from your family. So if you didn't have a business or a family, then you were in big trouble financially. There was no other way to get income. There were people in that community, in that church, who were poor, very poor. And God's heart is always inclined towards the needs of the poor. He's a God of justice and a God of compassion. And that there might be some people who have and other people who have not, does not fit with God's sense of justice. He cares about the poor. And right from the beginning, the church cared about the poor. So by this point in our story, there was already some sort of program set up for distributing food to widows. In other words, people who had no business or family, no source of income. Their needs were met. They were fed through this work. The heart of Grace Church must be similarly inclined towards the needs of the poor. And I believe it is. I think it is. There are many spontaneous ways in which people in our church care for each other and give of their time and energy to extend that care to people beyond the church as well. To get a comprehensive list of all the different things that we are engaged in, go to our website, have a look at the Connect section, look at the page titled Grace Works, and you'll see a list of most things listed there that we get up to. One of our Grace Works is Options, which is the Pregnancy Option Centre. And David Thompson, who is the lead elder here at Grace Church, managed to catch up with Anna Madge, who now heads up Options, and ask her about that. We're going to watch a quick video of that.
Okay, so I'm here at Pregnancy Option Centre's 21st birthday party. And this is Anna. And Anna is part of our Chichester site. And so, Anna, why just tell us first of all what Options is.
So Options is a service in Chichester that provides free counselling to men and women, the families and partners, if they're going through an unplanned pregnancy and need someone to have to talk to, or if they've experienced pregnancy loss. We also do counselling sessions for them. We also have an education team as well, which goes into local schools and talks to kids about healthy relationships and relationship boundaries.
Fantastic. So tell us, how did you get involved in Options and what's your role now?
So about 3 years ago, I started just volunteering in the office. stuffing envelopes for local GPs. And then in the last year, from September, I then trained on the counselling team to do the counselling stuff. And now I've become the project manager. So I'm starting now. Yeah.
Fantastic. And so what are you excited about over the coming sort of months and years? What are you looking forward to?
So really looking forward to growing our education work. So we've managed to extend our education team leads hours, which means we can go into more schools, doing more year groups, as well as other youth settings around. We're just really excited to see Options grow and develop and reach more people who are in need of our services.
That's brilliant. So Options is an independent charity, but it is a charity that Grace Church is 100% behind.
Yeah.
Loads of our people involved in it, and it's definitely one of our Grace works. So well done, Anna.
Thanks for sharing that.
It's brilliant.
Anna, who is part of our Chichester site, Options is just one of our Grace works. Do pray for it. Do support it. You can even get involved. I understand they are running some training sessions throughout November for the education stuff that they do. So if you want to get involved with that, then let me know and we'll make that happen. There's other Grace works that I haven't got time to describe fully. We go into Ford Prison and we work with people being released from there as well. We work with Food Bank in Chichester and in Midhurst and in Bognor, and we'd be very keen to do so here in Havant. So if you want to get involved and kind of start helping that to happen, then let me know. We work with Aran Angels and City Angels. We have a team befriending Syrian refugees. We have special groups for, and we work to include adults with additional needs. And we've got little bear toddler groups, and I'm sure I've missed loads of other stuff as well. There's a bunch of things that we do. Coming up soon on Sunday, the 4th of November, actually, to put one in your diary, we're going to have a special Sunday focusing on some of our Grace works. It's important to us, all this stuff. So on that day, we've got people coming to Havant from CAP, which is Christians Against Poverty, and they're going to help us to catch us up in the CAP Life Skills course, which we're just about to start in Bognor. And we'd be keen one day to do something like that here in Havant. So do get that in your diary. We're also going to divide this up across our Grace Church sites. So we've got people also coming from Compassion. You know, we sponsor hundreds of children who are growing up in poverty. And on that Sunday, we are going to have a young person coming to one or two of our sites who was previously sponsored, and they can tell us firsthand the difference it has made to their life. We're probably going to have someone from CAP here and in Bognor, where we've started CAP, and we'll probably have Compassion guides in Chichester and Midhurst. But you can catch the downloads online and things like that, find out what we're going on. It's important to us, this stuff. There's a big plug for that. So there are 3,000 people saved in this story, filled with the Spirit, and immediately they began to serve the poor. Again, it was just grace. It was a normal thing for them to do. Let's never get so barnacled up that we forget to do the same, that we neglect that. So we got as far as Acts chapter 6. How are we doing? All right?
Yeah.
Following the story? Cool. So at this point, the level of the hostility, that's scene 5. At this point, the level of hostility against the church kind of really began to increase. People were being killed for even mentioning the name of Jesus, and a bunch more were thrown into prison. In the end, the persecution became so bad that many had to flee Jerusalem to save their lives, in fear of their lives. They became refugees, these people. A whole people, internally and internationally, displaced due to religious hatred. It still happens to Christians today across the world. But what happened is that wherever Christians ended up living, they began to share the good news of Jesus there. They couldn't help themselves. New churches became established, people believing in Jesus and filled with the Spirit of God. And they began to be church, just like they had been church in that first church in Jerusalem. So now, for the first time in history, instead of there just being one local church in one city, there's a whole bunch of local churches all across the world. And they operated as local churches with local leadership in place. But what I want us to kind of notice is that they also stayed connected to each other. and in good relationship with each other. And gifted individuals would occasionally move from place to place to serve. So Grace Church is an independent local church with an eldership team in place. But we are not isolated or on our own. In describing what is important to us, it's important that I include that we are part of a wider family of churches. We're in a family of churches called Commission. So we have relationship with other churches. Commission is a family or just a network of churches on a shared mission under the apostolic leadership of a godly man called Guy Miller. And we're connected together. All the Commission churches got together at West Point over the August bank holiday. We do it every year. Let me encourage you to book in for next year. You can do it August 2019 as we get together and remember that we're part of something bigger. We're connected to these other churches. I look in this story and I see churches that did not want to get isolated. We do not want Grace Church to get isolated. We won't. We believe firmly that we are made stronger by connecting in, by submitting to a vision that is larger than just us, that is bigger than what we are about. We've got, we could go keep on going forever and ever on this story. We get to Acts chapter 9, and actually the story of the church kept going from this point throughout the book of Acts and down the centuries until it gets to us. And the part that we are writing right now as being the local church, the history of the church, we're writing this history today. Let me just bring it to kind of a summary in scripture. In Acts 9 verse 31, it says this: "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers." Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. The church that was, it was brand new. It was centered on Jesus, filled with the Spirit. People couldn't help but give their energy to community and mission and holiness and serving the poor and staying connected. They're just some of the things that kind of looking at this morning as we summarize some of the important things for us here in Grace Church. We just want to emulate these people committed to community. They gave their energy to community, committed to mission. They worked hard on mission, to holiness, to serving the poor and staying connected with other local churches. And the result was that it increased in numbers. And I think as a general rule, healthy churches grow. Churches that are being like this church in Acts grow as a general rule. So my question to you is, will you come on board? Will you join us on this journey? Are you up for it? Are you up for getting on with those values of who we are? Hopefully, I'll be able to give you some insight into what makes us tick and what we're about as a church. Look into the pages of Scripture. Study it yourselves. Compare it to what you're seeing in Grace Church and hear God speaking to you as you do that. If he's saying that is what church is like, at least they are trying to do the right thing, the same thing, then why don't you come and be part of us? Join us at Grace Church. Come with us. You'd all be most welcome. You're so welcome to belong and be part of us here at Grace Church.